Good evening. Thanks for being with us for our first broadcast of the new year. I'm Claire Eagle, and you're listening to News 101.
Right here on News 101.
What motivated you to become a candidate in the provincial election?
The media portrayal of last week's protest that resulted in polarizing images of black-clad activists taken to the streets.
He was just explaining to us the reason why they wanted to show this film on campus.
The official stance is that we are for the Olympics.
News 101 reporter Brad Pepping was there.
By discriminating against homeless people in Vancouver, there's a disproportionate impact on Aboriginal people as well as people with disabilities.
I was pretty outraged. I mean, it is outrageous.
In-depth coverage from an alternative perspective.
You're listening to News 101, Vancouver's only live, volunteer-produced, student and community newscast, offering you local, national, and international news from an alternative perspective.
What's left of us? Just a big...
On the program today, we'll be hosting an all-candidates debate live in studio with the 2011 AMS elections candidates for VP Academic and University Affairs, VP Administration, and VP Finance. We'll have all this, plus the Arts Report, your weekday weather forecast, coming up this hour right here on News 101. In national news, Canada has been ranked last in a study examining the effectiveness of freedom of information laws and the openness of government in five parliamentary systems. New Zealand was ranked first, followed by the United Kingdom, Ireland, and then Australia. Conducted by the University College in London, the study examined the number of requests made by the public for government information, the amount of information released, the length of delays, and the number of appeals. In the first year of data recording, only 33% of Canadian requests were released in full, compared to 66% in the United Kingdom. According to the researchers, quote, Canada comes last as it has continually suffered from a combination of low use, low political support, and a weak information commissioner since its inception, quote. The study attributed this to several early controversies surrounding freedom of information requests, which led to decreased resources, political resistance, and informal systems designed to limit the impact of requests. Also, in Canada, requests cannot be made electronically, and a paper check must be sent to cover fees. Due to time constraints, this is the only headline that we'll be bringing you for today. However, stay with us as we'll be bringing you election debates for the 2011 AMS elections right after this short break.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, daily grassroots, global, unembedded, international, independent news hour. And this is CITR 101.9 FM.
A video of the incident was posted on YouTube.
Until now, Canada's internet has been an open network and a level playing field for free speech and innovation. All that is under threat. A handful of companies want to limit what you can access on the internet. In May, SaveOurNet.ca led a successful campaign pushing net neutrality to the top of the Liberal Party website. Now, both the New Democratic Party and the Liberals have official policies supporting net neutrality. In addition to that, the CRTC has recently issued new rules intending to prevent the actions of some internet service providers from limiting certain types of traffic and content on the web. But the battle does not end there. To tell the government that net neutrality is a vital part of our democratic society, and for more information, visit www.saveournet.ca. This message is brought to you by saveournet.ca and CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to News 101, broadcasting live from the Student Union Building at UBC. I'm Claire Eagle, and thanks for being with us tonight. It's currently 5:14, and now we bring you special coverage of the 2010 AMS elections. Today, we will have three debates with the candidates from VP Admin, VP Academic and University Affairs, and VP Finance. First, we have the candidates for VP Admin in the studio, Gordon Katic, Mike Silly, and Kathy Yan Lee. The format of the debate will be as follows. Each candidate will be given a 2-minute introduction. Please introduce yourself to our listeners and tell students why they should vote for you. Following the introductions, I will ask a question, and each candidate will have 1 minute to respond. After all candidates have responded, each candidate will be given a 30-second rebuttal to address comments made by any of the other candidates. When your time has expired, we will turn off your microphone. So the introductions will follow this order. Gordon, then Mike, then Kathy. Gord, you have 2 minutes.
Okay. So my name is Gordon Katic. I'm a third-year student here at UBC studying philosophy and political science. I don't have any AMS experience. I thought a long time about running, but my friend told me he wouldn't wish that upon me. And any time I did attend council meetings, it seemed like a real bore. But it occurred to me that it's a very important organization. Unfortunately, it's in dire straits right now. Not only is it facing a terrible budget crisis, but it's really facing a crisis of confidence right now. About 12% of the student body votes. Most students don't even the average student. The AMS isn't really a big part of their life, and it's really being underutilized. So I think we really need to reimagine what the student union can be. As a vice president administration, that's a position where we have a lot of potential to do that, especially in terms of clubs and engaging campus life here through the student union. Right now, we have the Student Administrative Commission that is really looked at as a bloated bureaucracy, and as a vice president of a club called Allies here at UBC, you see quite clearly that the AMS is doing very little in terms of fostering community on this campus. So a vote for me is a vote really for using SAC and using the resources of the AMS to encourage and promote clubs through things like having a club of the week day or a club of the week every week, through providing clubs with audio equipment, video equipment, through maybe having an events page, those sorts of things. Another important part of my platform is, of course, building a student union and doing it transparently. There was a... unfortunately, the student union really isn't a particularly transparent student union. There was a report that came out this May that said... Sorry, for 2 minutes here. Okay. So, yeah, a vote for me is a vote for a transparent student union, a...
Great. Thanks, Gord. Mike, you have 2 minutes.
Hi, everyone. My name's Mike Sillé, and I'm also running for VP Admin. I'm a fifth-year sociology student here at UBC, and I've been involved in the AMS for a couple years now, 3 years. In this time, I've been twice elected AMS Arts Representative, and I currently sit as the Business and Facilities Committee Chair. I've sat on tons of AMS committees, ranging from campus planning and development, representation and engagement reform, equity, legislative procedures committee. I currently also sit on the board of CITR, and I'm the Political Science Students Association Chief Ambassador. I ran for VP Admin because, number one, I don't see it as a politicized role. It's one of the least political roles of the exec. And I'm very passionate about the portfolio that it has. And I feel like I have the ideas, the experience, and the drive to do a stellar job. One of the ideas is to complete the digitization of SAC. So there are 300 clubs of the AMS, and that's essentially the primary mode of student involvement. It's the student's lifeblood on campus. And it's administrated by SAC, which is the Student Administrative Commission. They run the art gallery, everything from bookings, constituting clubs, handling complaints, all of that. And what I'd like to do is complete the digitization of that. So that would mean inputting the constitution, membership, finances, everything from meeting attendance, social calendar, all in an online database to create easy access of information for the clubs and for the AMS. That way we could grant funding according to how active clubs are, as opposed to just random grants applications. I'm also very involved in Whistler Lodge review. I've been involved in the past 4 months, and I hope you vote for me. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Kathy, You have 2 minutes.
Thanks. I'm Kathy with a Japanese yen dollar sign, and I'm a third-year theater student. I'm running for a VP admin because I believe that students on campus aren't involved enough, and I want to change that. First off, I would like to have more glitter on campus. Glitter makes people happy. Instead of water fountains, we will have glitter fountains. So all you have to do is walk to a glitter fountain and get sprayed with glitter and go to school feeling awesome and glittery. Next I want to do is establish a no pants rule. Pants restrict you. It restricts your movement. It makes your legs feel really warm and hot. We want to remove that. We want to make sure you can have the ease of movement without pants and have a no pants party every day. And hopefully all those will help people get more involved on campus with glitter and no pants. Thanks.
Perfect. Thank you, Kathy. So now I'll be posing a question for each candidate to respond to. The order will be as follows for responses. Mike, you'll go first, and then Kathy, followed by Gordon. So here is your question. The position of VP admin will be defined by the new sub-project. Are you satisfied with the current progress and the process as it stands? And as VP admin, would you like to make any changes to the AMS's role in the design process? Mike, you have 1 minute.
So we're coming up on year 4 of the whole sub-process, dating back to May of 2007, where students submitted a 2,500-person petition to BOG to halt market housing at U Boulevard. Since then, we've come a long way. We've signed agreement with the university. We've hired the architect, and we're well on our way in phase 6 of the design development phase. But there definitely have been bumps along the road. My main concern is to keep student consultation as we move forward, because we need to keep the architects, number one. We need to let them know how students feel and how and what students want. It's kind of like a back and forth process. So they create a design, then we come in for consultation, back and forth, to really hone in on the best sub-design. And I am confident in the way it's going right now.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Kathy, what are your thoughts?
I believe that what is lacking in the new sub-design is a brew pub. I think students would enjoy that, making your own beer. I think it's in the works right now, but it's not confirmed. But I would definitely love to see a brew pub.
Perfect. I could see that going well with the no pants, definitely. Gordon, you have 1 minute.
Yeah, I've been happy with the progress. ECAD has certainly done a good job, and we're well on our way to getting there. I do agree with Mike here that going forward, we just need to maintain a strong student presence in that process, that every stage of development, students' voices need to be heard. At every stage of development, the architects need to make an earnest effort to really show students what's happening. So if I would make any changes to development, I would have constant updates about featuring what's going to be the new sub, what needs to be worked on, what we need more student input on, and what the architects are working on. As long as students are seriously involved and seriously feel as if the new sub is a reflection of their interests, I think I can be proud of that.
Thank you, Gordon. So now, Mike, you have 30 seconds for rebuttal.
Oh, awesome. Just to respond to Kathy, I did see a report coming out, actually, about the efficacy or whether or not a brew pub could come out in the new sub. So anything is possible, and if elected as VP administration, I definitely want to push any initiatives that the vast majority of students want.
Thank you, Mike. Kathy, you have 30 seconds.
Since we're on the topic of brew pubs, I would like to make all faucets have Jack Daniels coming out of it.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Kathy. And Gordon, you have 30 seconds.
I don't know if that'll be up to health code, but that'd certainly be quite an interesting sub. I don't know if I think I could get behind that.
Thanks, Gord. So for the second question, the order is going to be Kathy, then Gord, then Mike. So, Kathy, How do you intend to balance your responsibilities to the current sub and student organizations with the task of overseeing the development of the new sub?
I think the new sub currently is pretty much already pretty well developed. You just have to, as VP admin, you just have to make sure they're doing their job, make sure they're not going to the gallery and drinking beer all day. I think if I do get elected, I would like to make sure that clubs, there's more initiatives for clubs. I know that we have a lot of clubs on campus, but there's not enough publicity about them. The MS website is not informative at all. There is a page set up with clubs, but no information, and I definitely would like to see that changed.
Great. Thanks, Kathy. Gord?
Well, we're all excited about the new sub, and rightfully so, but we can't let the old sub take a back seat. I mean, what we have right here is something special. It's quite an old building. There are a lot of memories here. We should never trivialize or minimize what this building was for a lot of people. So we're going to have to make sure that we preserve this building and we manage this building properly, and we not let it take a back seat to greener pastures, even though they might very well be that.
Great. Thanks, Gord. Mike, what are your thoughts?
Like I said before, and like I can't remember if it was Kathy. I think Kathy, you said it, that the new sub is well on its way. We have an excellent team right now, the new subcommittee, new sub coordinator, and a team of architects working on it. So there definitely needs to be a role for VP and Mint to oversee that. But I think the main focus would be on clubs and SAC to try and promote student involvement within clubs and try to really cut through that red bureaucratic tape. It also saved the AMS a lot of money. With regard to the current renovations, the current sub-renovations, I sit on the AMS Business and Facilities Committee, and we have a renovations working group, and actually we deal with all the renovations that come to the Whistler Lodge or the sub, and I think only health and safety or short-term renovations should be looked at, and that's what we're doing right now.
Great, thanks, Mike. Kathy, you have 30 seconds for a rebuttal or further thoughts.
I think the AMS should buy some military trucks and have clubs parade around campus with loudhailers yelling what their club's about and maybe throwing glitter around. I think that would help.
Definitely be good publicity. Gord, do you have any rebuttal or any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think the SAC really needs to be transformed. You're right, it is essentially looked at as nothing but a bloated bureaucracy, but we need to really transform that into a service. We need to imagine new ways that SAC and the AMS can use their resources to really encourage clubs, foster community, and publicize what it is that clubs are doing on this campus.
Great. Thanks, Gord. Mike?
I definitely just, Gord, hit it right on the button. I think the best way, though, to really get at the heart of SAC is to digitize all the records. That way we can very, very easily create seed funding for new clubs based on membership participation and activity.
Great, thanks. So for this last question, the order for answering and rebuttal will be from Gordon to Mike, then to Kathy. So each of you has touched on this a little bit, but the VP admin is charged with communicating with and supporting over 300 clubs at UBC. So can you elaborate more on how you would define the current relationship between the AMS and the clubs on campus? And how do you envision the relationship between the VP admin and UBC clubs developing the future?
Right now, it's honestly quite disappointing. We have talked about how SAC is really quite a bureaucracy, but even the AMS council really takes a hands-off approach. In one of the last council meetings, Bijan was suggesting that if a referendum didn't pass, the AMS would need to remove legal liability from clubs and essentially make clubs leave clubs to their own devices. I really do think it's a bad route to take. I think what the new VP admin, as me as VP admin, would really work in a proactive manner to encourage clubs to grow and to bring students to clubs that they normally wouldn't have known about. So doing things like I said, having a club of the week, having an events page, having providing clubs with more resources like video equipment, like audio equipment, like providing them more training and orientation about how to garner more attention for themselves and using those AMS resources. And AMS, this tremendous PR arm of the AMS, to really show students what it is they can do with campus clubs.
Great. Thanks, Gord. And Mike, how would you define the current relationship between the AMS and clubs on campus? And where do you see this relationship going?
I think that the AMS and current clubs on campus, it seems almost as if the role between the two are that the AMS seeks to see whether or not, you know, how clubs can really help the AMS and propel the AMS forward, when it should be, you know, more of an outward approach, where how can the AMS help clubs? And therefore, how can clubs, you know, help students? I think that's how it should be, to really, really, you know, get at the heart of the apathetic student. That's why there's no campus life, is because everyone's in it for themselves. We need to start seeing how we can help our fellow students and better student life.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Kathy, what are your thoughts?
I think the relationship between the AMS and the clubs are kind of like Lady Gaga and her pants. She has them, but she doesn't really wear them. It's the same thing with the AMS and clubs. Like, you know, like, the clubs exist, but the AMS doesn't really want to do anything much. Like, whatever they have, it's not very helpful to the clubs, because, yeah, we need more life on campus, and we need people to be more involved.
Thanks, Kathy. So now you each have 30 seconds for a rebuttal or further thoughts. So, Gord?
Right. I agree with all the candidates here, but one thing I might point out is that really I haven't heard any sort of proactive, any real stance. I mean, yes, we can digitize the records, but how can we really use SAC? How can we really use the AMS to foster community on this campus? There needs to be concrete policy goals for the VP admin, and I have that, and you can find those on my website.
Great. Thanks, Gord. Mike?
You're right, Gord. There definitely does have to be concrete goals, and I think the concrete goal is to cut through all the bureaucratic tape. There's already a program in place. It's just, you know, takes the initiative and the time to really input all this information, you know, swaths of information for clubs, and then that way give it back to clubs.
Thanks, Mike. Kathy?
I say throw more campus-wide parties.
Good solution. All right. Well, thank you all three of you for coming in today. We're going to take a quick break now, but stay tuned, because up next we're going to bring you the debate for VP Academic. You're listening to News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM.
Hello. I have been sent from the future to warn you about the first epic party of 2011. On Friday, January 14th, the Pit Pub will be throwing it down Mardi Gras style. There will be mind-blowing performances by Vanilla Extracts, winner of the recent That DJ competition, and the Hood Internet. Woot woot woot. $15 advance tickets are now available at the Outpost, online at aus.resco.com, and can be obtained by emailing aus.social@arts.ms.ubc.com. Don't delay, because this party will sell out in advance. I should know. I come from the future.
Pharma have entered into a secret conspiracy in which secret government contracts are sold to Big Pharma that allow for secret chemicals to be placed in coffee seeds, all under the watchful eye of Big Coffee, who is secretly working with other world forces, all in a sinister plot to get alien embryos in our coffee so Big Pharma can sell us alien contraceptive pills. Or, if you'd rather get some rational news, check out Radio Free Thinker, the radio show / podcast that promotes skepticism, critical thinking, and science education, every Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Monday, January 10th, come to Vancouver's Van City Theatre for Wilco, Ashes of American Flags. Relive Wilco's Olympic Vancouver show with Brendan Canty and Christopher Green's superb film. Ashes of American Flags shows a live look at the band from different venues across their 2008 U.S. tour. Frontman Jeff Tweedy and his band provide insight on their musical group and their impact on American culture.
If this show ends up being one of the greatest rock and roll concerts of all time, I'm afraid it's going to have an asterisk next to it. Because I'm on steroids.
The movie starts at 8:30 p.m. and tickets are $5 with a membership. For more information and tickets, go to www.vif.org/theater.
You're listening to News 101, and it's 5:35. I'm Claire Eagle. In our studio now, we have the three candidates for VP Academic and University Affairs, Matt Parson, Jennifer Wang, and Justin Yang. The format of this debate will be as follows. Each candidate will be given a two-minute introduction, so please introduce yourselves to our listeners and tell students why they should vote for you. Following these introductions, I will ask a question, and each candidate will have 1 minute to respond. After all candidates have responded, each candidate will be given a 30-second rebuttal to address comments made by any of the other candidates. When your time has expired, we will turn off your microphone, so please pay attention to the time. The introductions will follow this order. Matt Parson, Jennifer Wang, and Justin Yang. Matt, you have 2 minutes.
First of all, thanks a lot for having us here, Claire, and CITR as well. So my name is Matt Parson, and I'm running for the position of VP Academic. I'm a fourth-year biology student. I'm the current president of the Interfraternity Council, and I'm also a member at large on the referendum committee. Really, the reason that I'm going for the VP Academic position is that I see that this portfolio is so diverse, it touches on so many different aspects of student life that you really have the potential to do a lot of good and change a lot of aspects that are going to help a lot of students in the end. Looking towards the AMS right now, I kind of see it as it's doing a lot of things well, but there definitely seems to be a little bit of a disconnect between the actual student body itself and the student government as well. I recognize that I am a little bit of a new face to the student political arena, but personally, I look at this as more of a positive. I'm coming in with a fresh perspective, no strings attached type of deal. I'm coming with more ideas than ideologies, which we've seen in the past, really personified by the previous presidents, that this can be detrimental because you're more representing what your personal thoughts are than what you actually hope to accomplish. I'm more about results than personal stances. So some of those ideas that I hope to accomplish, just to quickly sum up, is increasing the availability of teacher evaluations. We really need to get a lot of buy-in from the faculty. I want to facilitate some discussions towards the expansion of summer courses. And then also, lastly, we have this massive issue of our governance coming up this year, as well as the land use plan. So I think that it would be very beneficial to have a student-wide opinion poll, which would give us quite a lot of information that would help us move forward and properly represent the student body. So again, that's Matt Parson. Check me out at my website, mattparson.ca. Thank you.
Sounds great, Matt. Jennifer, you have 2 minutes.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jennifer Wang, and I'm running for VP Academic. I'm a fourth-year English student, and I'm running for VP Academic because I really am passionate about student rights. I think that the AMS should be a proper student union, which means that it should be an inclusive organization that both actively protects and advocates for the rights of all students, and not just those students with the loudest voices and the most visible presences on campus. I think there are particularly underrepresented students on campus who are affected very much by university policies, but who don't actually have a direct role in decision-making processes. And I think it's really important that in order to facilitate a campus of diverse perspectives and approaches, that we really take into account all student voices. So I'm particularly interested in creating some sort of safe space for students to address equity and discrimination issues. Currently, there are bodies on the university campus that ostensibly provide these services to students, but there are a lot of flaws with them. dealing with autonomy and confidentiality issues, and I think it's really important to be addressed and to be resolved. I think in terms of advocacy, I think that the AMS should definitely take a stronger stance in advocating university administration on for a few issues. First of all, the land use plans, I think, are incredibly fraught right now. So it's really important that we take this opportunity to represent student interests, take a strong stance in lobbying, and that's why I'm interested in running for VP Academic.
Perfect. Thank you, Jennifer. Justin, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you very much. My name is Justin Yang. I'm a fourth-year student in science and arts. I'm a commuter student, and I have 4 years of solid experience as a student leader and advocate on campus. I'm really excited to run for this position because the potential of this position is enormous. Academic and University Affairs is the largest portfolio among all the AMS executives, and I bring a very even-handed and pragmatic approach to this position. Next year promises to be a truly exciting moment for student politics and for students in general. Empowering students to be involved in Gage South will mean everything to students for now and for the future. This is going to be our heart of campus, and I'm really passionate about ensuring that this is a student-centric, student-focused, safe space. One of my other campaign platform points is that I'm extremely excited to reinvigorate the academic portfolio because in the past few years, it has been fallen by the wayside. I'm excited to see the VP Academic take a stronger role, teaming up with the Senate Student Caucus and really making a difference, a positive difference for students at an institution for higher learning, which is what we're all about. Finally, I'm excited to work with CTLT, the Center for Teaching, Learning, and Technology, to review our existing system for learning management systems and to really replace WebCT Vista with a very viable student-centered solution. Please visit my website, www.justinyang.ca, to visit more of my platform points and to get to know a bit of my background and experience. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Justin. So now I will pose a question that each of you can answer. So the order I will ask the question in will be for Jennifer, then Justin, then Matt. So here's your question. How content are you right now with the university's campus planning process? And how do you feel about the way student concerns are currently addressed? What changes, if any, would you like to see? Jennifer, you have 1 minute.
So I think in terms of campus planning right now, I think that the university, there's a couple of issues that are arising, and I think the main issue is that student concerns are being articulated, but I think that the university administration is not taking student concerns into account. Instead, what the administration is doing is using really confusing and obfuscating rhetoric to obscure real issues, like slapping meaningless labels on zoning areas that don't particularly mean anything. For example, with the UBC Farm or with Village Center Academic or even Gage South, those zone areas have all been termed either Green Academic, Village Center Academic, Area to be Reviewed. We don't know what any of that means. I think it's really important right now for AMS to remain vigilant about student interest and to prioritize them and to take a really strong stance against university administration.
Great. Thanks, Jennifer. Justin, you have 1 minute.
Thank you very much. Certainly, our relationship with the university officials has been very difficult. I think great strides have been made this year, really to establish a dialogue of good faith with university officials, with Nancy Knight and her team at campus and community planning. However, this really needs to continue. We really need a strong advocate to really continue the good work that has been made. Gage South being declared an area under review, for example, has been an immense success. It's something that means students in the future have the opportunity to say that have a say in what happens on their campus, especially at the heart of campus. I'm very excited to work with them. I think we can come to the table and really walk away with everyone in a good position and with students winning ultimately, which is the goal of the university.
That definitely is our goal here. Great, thanks, Justin. Matt, what are your thoughts?
So far, the process has been questionable, I'd say. I see that there is a lot of response coming back from the students. I mean, at the land use plan hearing, there was 15 out of the 33 speakers at the public hearing were students. And really, the only net result to come out of that whole hearing was the shift of one word being that the transfer of density of this 30,000 square feet will being deleted to May. So this transfer of density, this is really what is the core of the issue at Gage South, which really is the core of the whole community planning area right now. So what needs to be happening is not necessarily take a reactive stance, but more of a proactive. The AMS needs to address this, get a collaborative effort from all these students, and come to the university with a consensus.
Great. Thanks, Matt. So now, Jennifer, you have 30 seconds for a rebuttal or further thoughts.
Yeah, I'd actually also like to take this opportunity to acknowledge that UBC is currently situated on unceded Musqueam territory, and unfortunately, right now, there are no seats on either AMS Council or any other governing bodies on UBC for a Musqueam representative, and it's really important that to realize the Musqueam community is an important stakeholder in any future discussions regarding campus planning, and we need to take that into account.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. Justin, you have 30 seconds.
Thank you. Addressing Gage South directly, I think the area under review designation is exciting. I think moving forward this year, a consultation process needs to be taken care of, and students really need to engage with their campus. I'm excited because my history with engaging students, especially in, for example, budget issues, will be an asset in this upcoming consultation process.
Thank you, Justin. And Matt, finally, what are your thoughts?
My past term as the Interfraternity Council president really was marked by us building very, very strong relations with the University Neighborhood Association, which traditionally weren't great. So as Justin was saying earlier, and I was as well, we really need to have a grassroots type of approach to this, really get the word from the students to the university as far as what we want to be our campus.
Perfect. Thanks, Matt. So for this second question, the order will be addressed from Justin to Matt, then to Jennifer. So affordable housing is a very important issue in Vancouver, and many students are struggling to find housing that is both near campus and affordable. Do you think the university is tackling the issue of non-market, on-campus student housing aggressively enough? And if you feel current plans are inadequate, how would you pressure the university to make this a bigger priority? Justin, what are your thoughts?
Thank you very much. This comes at a very timely time, actually. At a recent Senate meeting, Nancy Knight and her team presented a report on student housing on campus, and they really presented a really exciting and dynamic plan for encouraging student camping housing on campus. I think certainly there are issues that have to be looked at. It hasn't been the most consultative process, but I think certainly if they could expand that study and really build on what we need, I think we have something really wonderful we can work with.
Great. Thanks, Justin. Matt, what do you think?
I do think that this is one area that the university has been approaching fairly well. I mean, with looking forward, there are going to be about 2,500 new beds at the Ponderosa area. And then also with the LUP going forward as well, they are trying to increase the housing density that will be allowed. So with this increase in density, with allowing higher buildings, hopefully, and smaller units, you're going to be able to get more students on campus for cheaper and hopefully faster.
Thanks, Matt. Jennifer, what do you think?
I disagree. I don't think the university I don't think AMS has been aggressive enough in lobbying university administration for more affordable student housing. There are many, many students who can't afford any residence, both on campus and close to campus. And I mean, one really, I think, apt example of how the university and both AMS has sort of failed to bring any sort of productive result is with the University Boulevard. zoned as Village Center Academic, university administration has provided a clause that said that this is a zoning area that's to be aimed at students and faculty and whatever, prioritizing student housing needs. But I think that that's one other example of really ambiguous language that, in which case, AMS and VP Academic needs to take a really strong role in remaining vigilant about these issues and making sure that student concerns are being appropriately addressed. And voiced.
You're out of time.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. So now we have time for 30-second rebuttals. So, Justin, what do you think?
Thank you. I mean, I just want everyone to remember we are on an institutional property. We are, this is a university above all, and academics are our goal. And I think certainly housing has been a priority for Nancy Knight and her team. As I've said, their plan is very dynamic and ambitious. I'm very excited to see the prospects that we can work together and really make it more a live process rather than a dead process. We'd love to be able to work with Nancy and see the plan live.
Great. Thank you, Justin. Matt, what do you think?
Just to touch on Jennifer's point, I do agree that the wording on everything that's been going forward has been somewhat vague and elusive. But to touch on that point, it is somewhat of a difficult area to plan for, being a university, just because we aren't your classic town or city where things are very planable. You know, you're having grants coming in and you're having to plan for buildings, such as the pharmacy building being built, which was designated to be housing.
And you're out of time.
Thanks. Great. Thanks, Matt. And Jennifer, finally, what do you think?
So I don't quite agree. I think with either Justin or Matt. I think that university administration doesn't have the best interests of students at the forefront in all of their proposed solutions. With increase in density, I think that's there are a lot of issues to be addressed with that, issues of amenities, all sorts of things. So I think that most important is it's important to remember that there does need to be a stronger advocacy role. And in
you're out of time.
Great, thanks, Jennifer. So due to some time, I think we're just going to end it right there. Thank you all so much for coming in today, and we wish you all best of luck in this campaign season. So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll bring you a debate with the candidates for VP Finance. I'm Claire Eagle, and you're listening to News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
I'm going to be around my vegetables. I'm going to chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all. My favorite vegetable.
Sprouts. It's your 75-cent coffee fix in the sub. It's your source for reasonably priced, creatively named stew and vegan brownies.
It's your purveyor of bicycle-delivered local produce.
It's also a place where volunteers can realize their vision of responsible business and where like-minded students can explore UBC's food systems.
Hark! Sprouts is currently accepting applications for next year's executive board and is encouraging ambitious, creative, and disciplined students from all faculties and year levels to apply.
Come by Sprouts in the sub-basement to learn more about our projects and how to get involved.
I tried to kick the ball, but my tinny flew right off. I'm red as a beet.
Welcome back. In studio right now, we have the candidates for VP Finance, Alin Tayar and Arash Itashami. Thanks for being with us today. I'm Claire Eagle, and you're listening to News 101. So the format of the debate will be as follows. Each candidate will be given a two-minute introduction, so please introduce yourselves to our listeners and tell students why they should vote for you. Following these introductions, I will ask a question, and each candidate will have 1 minute to respond. After all the candidates have responded, each candidate will be given a 30-second rebuttal to address comments made by the other candidate. When your time has expired, we will turn off your microphone, so do keep an eye on the time. So the introductions will follow in this order. Alin Tayar and then Arash. So Alin, you have 2 minutes.
Hey, I'm Alin Tayar. I'm a fifth year student of economics and international relations here at UBC. I ran for the position of VP Finance last year, if you remember, against the Invisible Man. I ran because we had a major problem at the AMS, and that being the structural deficit. And the state of our finances were really, really in a bad shape. And I think we've come a long way since then. This year, we cut over $200,000 in spending. You know, I presented the first balanced budget in 4 years to the council. You know, we had a lot of political backlash against that, but I think it was a good decision to make, being financially prudent. Now, the reason I'm running right now is because we haven't fully addressed the problem. We haven't fixed the problem. We've addressed a great part of it, which was controlling spending. Now, we have the revenues to worry about. We've been relying too much on our businesses. You know, the economic situation showed this year that the great amount of risk that we've been taking with our businesses, you know, has consequences. And as a result, we need to react to that and ensure that the AMS is financially viable going forward. Now, there's a lot of projects that I have planned for this coming year to address these problems.
Great. Thank you. Arash?
All right. Well, my name is Arash Atishami, and I'm running for the VP Finance position as well. I'm a fourth-year international relations student, minoring in German. And I'm also the AUSBP internal and a member of the BAFCOM committee. And I've been involved in student involvement ever since my first year as a squad leader, mug leader, squad manager, senior peer, all those kinds of student involvement opportunities. You name it, I've really been in it. So I have a lot of leadership experience going for me. And the reason I'm running is because the AMS is facing a $200,000 deficit, as Alan just mentioned. And there's an upcoming AMS election, AMS referendum to increase our student fees. And I believe that this role requires stronger leadership and better communication to build more confidence in both students and AMS Council. In addition to that, the services are doing their best with barely enough funding. And I believe that cuts are not the answer until we reassess the situation with the services and eliminate slush funds. So I wanted to make my priority to address these issues by engaging students with their fees, increase the transparency of the portfolio, and make it a better, more respected role. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Arash. So both of you touched on this briefly, but just for further elaboration, a large percentage of the AMS's revenue does come from the AMS businesses, and many of these businesses did not perform as well as expected, which contributed to the AMS's current deficit. So do you attribute this to the current economic situation that many students are facing right now, or do you think that the AMS businesses are responsible for their lack of performance, and how do you want to combat this? Arash, you have 1 minute.
All right, so the businesses, it is in part of the business faults as well, because we, the government's fault, the HST, and just higher tax and lower spending in students that is causing this. I believe that we're way too dependent on these businesses for revenue, which has caused this deficit that we're going into. So I believe that we should take another look at our pricing, and optimize it in a way that students, both the AMS benefits from the students.
Great, thank you. And Ellen, what are your thoughts?
Sure. So this year, one of the major changes that people probably didn't notice this year that I introduced was to protect the services. What we did was make them separate out the fee and make it independent. Thus, they're not, as subject to the performance of the businesses, to the risk of the businesses, they're protected. The other part, the student government, 48.6% of our revenue is depending on our businesses. It's a huge dependence that's been, over the years with our fees in real terms decreasing because of inflation. We've had to rely on these businesses. The only solution I see is a fee referendum.
Great, thank you. And Arash, you have 30 seconds for a rebuttal or further thoughts.
Instead of cutting the services, as I just mentioned, I think that we should reassess them and reallocate our funds, because the services are really, really budging under these budget cuts. I mean, $115,000 have been cut from the services, and people are really trying to are starting to feel it. So instead of making more cuts, I think we should have to reassess the situation first.
Right, and Ellen, what are your thoughts?
Sure, I think the code currently prevents us from cutting any services. All the funding that students, the fee that students pay for services will go directly to services. They are protected, they won't be cut any longer. Again, I think this was mentioned, we don't have a $200,000 deficit. Our deficit is currently $141,000, and the reason for that is because our businesses have not been performing as well due to HSD, as well as record youth unemployment in Canada and in BC.
Great, thank you. The second question is, as you have both mentioned, the AMS is going to be putting forward a referendum this spring to increase its funding in an attempt to address the deficit and the increasing cost associated with providing the same level of services. So do you support the proposed referendum, and why or why not? Helen, go ahead.
Sure. I think the referendum is essentially a question to students on whether they want to see AMS remain the way it is currently, or whether they want to see a much decreased size organization. Personally, I think the AMS is has been effective, is very valuable, and it's a huge part of the student experience here at UBC. A lot of things that students don't necessarily see. So I personally support the referendum, but that's up to the students to decide.
Right, thank you. And Arash, what do you think?
I actually think the referendum is also necessary because we haven't done one since the 1980s, and we're running on fees below the national standard. And I think the fee referendum is necessary, but what we have to do is break down the fee so students know why we have to increase it. We shouldn't just blindly represent a fee referendum and let the students sign off it. We have to break it down penny by penny and tell the students, engage them in their fees, basically.
Right. And Ellen, you have 30 seconds for a rebuttal or further comments.
Sure. I think the goal is definitely to break it down. We have broken it down. The fees are not final yet. We are still working on them. There are some adjustments, but it will be clear. In fact, what I proposed a few weeks ago to the referendum committee was a complete restructuring of the fees, because the current fees are, I think, unclear for the students. Just to clarify everything and make everything make sense, that will happen.
Great, thank you. And Arash, what are your thoughts?
I agree that this should be done. I'm surprised it hasn't been done earlier than this. The referendum was promised to be done in October, according to quarterly reports, but it's still dragging on to today. So I'm just, I want to get this done effectively and efficiently so we can move on with our fees.
Right, excellent. So unfortunately, due to the time here, we're actually going to cut that short right there. But thank you both so much for coming in today and for letting our listeners get to know you a bit. We wish you both the best of luck in this campaign season. So that concludes our first candidate debates for the 2011 AMS elections. Be sure to tune in on Friday at 5 p.m. for the debates from our VP External and our presidential candidates. I'm Claire Eagle, and you're listening to News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM. Today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts. If you'd like to share your comments, give us a hot news tip, or get involved with the show, contact us. Our phone number is 604-822-5334, or you can email news@citr.ca. This program was produced today by Iqbal Ahmed and Andrew Longhurst. From the entire news team here at CITR, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Career Fast Track right here on 101.9 FM at CITR.